All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Women to Watch is an intimate look into the lives of prominent and influential women leaders from around the world and the challenges they faced on their journey. It's the real story behind her title. Join us every week to hear more stories about women from around the world and in your own communities at womentowatch.net. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another week of Women to Watch. I'm Sue Rocco. Thanks so much for being with me. Joining me in just a moment will be Janet Fauci. And Janet is the former CEO of Deloitte Consulting and also the former chair of the board at Deloitte. Janet spent 33 years there, so she has lots of great advice and some tips for women in business for sure. Don't forget to stay with us during the breaks where you'll hear from our exclusive watch team of corporate partners. And I invite you always to subscribe to our YouTube channel if you prefer to watch the show at W2W Media. So now I'm very honored to welcome to the show Janet Fauci. Janet, welcome to the show.
It is so good to be here with you, Sue. Thank you for having me.
It's very nice to have you here, and I appreciate your time. I know how busy you are. And just so our viewers understand, you're the former CEO of Deloitte Consulting and board of the chair of Deloitte. But I want to dive in and find out a little bit more about the little Janet growing up in Washington, D.C., and what kind of led you to a very successful career that you've had. So I know that you grew up in D.C., and I wonder if you could you just describe the community or neighborhood that you grew up in?
Yeah, I love being able to start way back. I think people's personal stories are so important to the conversation. So thank you for giving me a space to share a little bit about that. So I grew up right outside of Washington, D.C. My dad was a scientist, sort of a primary scientific researcher and a physician. And my mom had actually done a PhD as well in sociology, but decided that that was not her chosen field. And so she quickly pivoted about the time I was born to be an artist. And she started very casually and is now a very accomplished artist. So I share all that I grew up in a family that was very non-business centric. Bethesda, Maryland, where I grew up as a whole, was really only had two types of people from where I sat. You either had your families work for the government or they were lawyers. And I really, or you could be an artist. And that was clearly not in my path. And so that was sort of the community I grew up in. In my neighborhood, it was a very international neighborhood and lots of people coming and going as the government's turned over. So it was a very diverse neighborhood from types of people and where people came from. But pretty much everyone worked for the government or everyone was a lawyer supporting the government. So it was very much a one company town.
Yeah.
I have one younger sister who's 2 years younger than I am. And we had a very tight nuclear family, the four of us.
when you think about your mom and dad having two very different backgrounds themselves, and you do you recognize traits in yourself that you got from them?
You know, it's funny. My sister and I were actually just talking about this. You know, I think what I probably carry the most of is my dad's intensity and drive. Though I think mine is pretty high to be a serious scientist for 40 years. That is like a sky high intensity and focus and drive. And I think I carry a lot of that. And I think I carry a lot of my mom's diplomacy, which I think having studied sociology and social work and maybe her compassion and both of their curiosity. So those are probably the things that thread through. Now I'm applying them in a very different way in my professional life than they did. Yes. But those are probably the things that sort of thread through who they are and the type of leader I've become. But the other thing I would say, Sue, is that, you know, they were obviously both very accomplished in their academic careers as well as their professions, but they didn't put a lot of pressure on my sister and I for what I would say are sort of material accomplishments. You know, they weren't really worried about what our grades were. They wanted to make sure we were energized by what we were doing. We liked the work that we were doing. We were good at it. We were committed to it. We were serious about it, but not such a focus on sort of traditional achievement. You know, they were both first generation in their families to go to college, them and their siblings. And so they were very much pushed. And I think they were very careful not to push my sister and I. They had high expectations for who we were as people, but didn't push us to sort of check the box in terms of accomplishments.
Yeah.
And I think that's carried through both in, you know, how I've led, which is to make sure that people are really finding the space to be who they are and do what they want to do.
To that point, Janet, I want to share this quote you shared with me. You said, "My parents had a high bar for my sister and me to always be well-read and have something to say of substance above all else." And I just love that. I think that's a really wonderful approach from a parent to encourage their children to do. And I wondered, how did that expectation help you in life?
Well, as a middle schooler, I was not thrilled about that expectation.
Of substance to talk about at the dinner table.
You had to be articulate at the dinner table. We had to roll out of bed in time for family breakfast on the weekends and be pleasant at family breakfast every Saturday and Sunday. But what I think that did is, one is it created a love of learning and exploring and listening. Because not only was the expectation that you contribute to the conversation, but that you listen really carefully. And as you know, in leadership, you know, A1 attribute is to be a great listener and to be able to put yourself in other, you know, whether it is your colleagues, your team, your competitors, your clients, to be able to put yourself in their shoes and really hear what they're saying. That was very much the experience that I got around the dinner table. And then being well-read is something that has sort of lived with me, though I think my own children are better read than I am at this point. But this idea that you are current and thoughtful about a wide set of topics is something that has served me well in terms of being able to work across a different set of clients and relate to lots of different people and just be curious about how the world is changing and evolving and how I and the people that I'm leading fit into it.
Yeah. Tell me, when you look back at those years growing up, you know, even into your teenage years and approaching college, what was a challenge for you? Perhaps something you've overcome or still as an adult successfully have to work on?
Yeah, for me, probably the biggest challenge when I think about high school and even early college, and it's something that you can see threads of through today, was keeping focus and not getting distracted. So I had lots of hobbies, lots of interests. I was a really good student, but not the best student, because I would flip from topic to topic. And I'm not saying that I was ADD or ADHD, and you know, people who grapple with that, this is much less serious than that. But I would flip a lot. And so when I found myself graduating from college, to flash forward and having to make a career decision, I was like, oh, consulting. I can avoid making a decision because I get to serve a wide variety of clients and I get to move projects. And so that manifested itself a bit as I started my career as well. You know, I think people that know me professionally would say I'm very focused, but on the topic at hand. But I had to really work at that intensity on a topic. I was always intense, but it would be from place to place, from flower to flower, as opposed to one thing.
Yeah, I think often we are we can appear to be very focused and in the moment, but people don't always know what's going on in our head. And we can be thinking about something else while we're in the middle of a conversation.
You know, and I was, you know, I am high energy and I was high energy. You know, my poor mom, like our summers would be very structured. She's like, oh, you know, you're not going to hang around the house all summer and drive me crazy, because I had so much energy and enthusiasm. So my parents put quite a bit of structure around me to try to channel that energy, even if it was across a wide set of things.
So do you think that has affected your career in a positive way? The fact that you are high energy, because you do a lot of different things. It's not certainly today, as opposed to when you were at Deloitte for 30 years or so or more. But yeah, sometimes I ask the question, are you happy in the busy? Mm. Right. Or is it something that you have to manage?
So I have not heard that expression, are you happy in the busy? You know, there's all this language today about, you know, sort of the tyranny of busy. And I would not say that is me. I truly get energy from having a lot of balls in the air and having a lot of things going on. And to your point, doesn't mean I'm not very present in the topic at hand, but mm-hmm. I like having to switch my brain quickly across topics, and I like sort of long, intense days. Yeah. And that's true today, and we can talk about that later in the conversation, but that was also true in the variety of opportunities I had at Deloitte, because there was never just one thing, whether I was a client service person and or an executive leading businesses, you know, the ability to keep a lot of things moving at the same time, and often for me more than I needed to, because I liked having a lot of things coming at me. And so though I'm respectful of this language of sort of the tyranny of busy and the tyranny of intense schedule, I actually thrive in really lively schedules and environments.
Yeah. I think it's really significant that you were at Deloitte for, is it 33 years? I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, 33 years, almost exactly.
33 years. But you, as you said, you consistently worked your way up and, you know, at the time that you left CEO of Deloitte Consulting, what do you think kept you there at that one company for so long?
And as I said, I didn't plan to stay. I planned to do 2 years and then figure out a grown-up job that I could settle into. But there were sort of three things that were always my questions I would ask myself. And it wasn't as tidy as what I'm telling you now, but there were really three things that mattered to me, which is one, and probably at the top of the list, did I like the people I was working with? The second is, did I feel like I was having an impact? What was I valuable to those people I was working with? And then the third was I valued by the organization? And so I was sort of the mindset that if all those three things were true, why do anything else? Mm. And so I had the opportunity to do a wide set of things with a wide group of people and was valued for the work I was doing. And a lot of that value is demonstrated by being able to take on more and different responsibilities. So for me, it sounds very mundane when I say it. And it was not some grand strategy to stay and work my way, quote unquote, up the ladder at Deloitte. I loved every role that I was in. And just about the time I would start to get antsy in the role, something else would come along for me to jump into and have a whole net new experience in leading a different business in a different way. And so that constant reinvention is the other thing that kept me there. But in the moment, it was those three things. I liked the people, you know, was I really challenged and having impact, and was I valued for that work?
Yeah. I think, you know, enjoying the people you're working with is a huge plus. I would say probably often people end up leaving a company because they're not getting along well with the people around them. They're not inspired. They're not feeling as though they're supported.
You know, we could talk all day long about the importance of aligning with the strategy of the company and the direction. But I do think that people, certainly my decisions and many of my colleagues over the years and many of the younger people that I have the privilege to coach and support and help today, it's really personal. It's about, do I like the work I'm doing and do I like the people I'm doing it with? And that, you know, I thought about that a lot when I was communicating with our people and when I was setting strategy, is that all of that has to boil down to, what does it mean for me? And am I getting a great experience in this moment? And a big part of that great experience is, do I like and am I learning from the people that I'm with?
Yeah.
You spend a lot of your life with these people that sometimes you choose if you have the privilege to lead and choose your team. And sometimes you inherit and sometimes you land with a group of people. And I was incredibly lucky that I very consistently liked both my clients as well as my team, my own teams within Deloitte over the years in a really, really sort of meaningful and deep way.
Yeah. It's like they say, it's, you know, it's all about the, unless you're in a solo job where you're actually very much alone, all of business and work is about people ultimately. And being able to have those great relationships. We're going to go into our first break. And when we come back, I want to start with how you adjusted, first, how you made the decision that you were done at Deloitte after all that time and how you adjusted to, I don't want to use the word retirement because you're not retired.
Yeah, please don't.
Not at all.
The next chapter.
Right.
Excellent. Look forward to it.
Stay with us for our watch team, and we'll be back with Janet Fauci.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
As a female-led organization, you have to bring it every single day. We're a mashup of sort of right and left brain. So we're not just doing management consulting. We're not just doing creative services. We're not just producing an event, but we're bringing a comprehensive solution to our clients And because of the way we approach it, we end up being bought into what it is that we're doing in a way that we truly have as much skin in the game as our clients do, whether it's bringing affordable internet to communities across the Caribbean, or it's helping Comcast with their Internet Essentials program, which is something we've been very proud to work on, or it's helping the NFL celebrate their centennial season by getting 1 million people to give at least 100 minutes to causes they care about, or helping the city of Philadelphia win the World Cup. So what's next for us? Well, we just hit just over 100 employees. I think we are at that tipping point, and I don't think there's anybody that does it better than we do. I'm Maggie Wilkinson, CEO of Athena Global Advisors, a company that is proudly based in Philadelphia.
Ladies, I'm Tiffany Kurgan, a financial professional with more than 25 years of experience serving successful women, families, and businesses. Here's the reality. You don't have to be the one managing your family's finances to take ownership of your future. But if you want true confidence about how everything is going to play out, you do have to take part in the process. That doesn't mean digging into the weeds of your finances when you don't have the time or desire. It means elevating your awareness of your own circumstances. It means having the bigger conversations so you're empowered when you need to be. Let's bring confidence to your family's future without overwhelming your time. Call myself at 903-520-2709. That's 903-520-2709. Or visit Johnson Financial Group on our website, www.jfg.cc. Not .com. www.jfg.cc.
Hi, I'm Dawn Zier, CEO, board director, and executive mentor to Fortune 500 executives through my work at the EXCO Group, firm of experienced CEOs, board directors, and global business leaders who offer real-world experience to help organizations and senior leaders grow. Today on Leadership Watch, we're going to talk about being in the driver's seat of your career. No matter what stage you're at in your career, you need to grasp that you are in the driver's seat. Understanding from day one that you and you alone are responsible for your career is critical. After all, why would you hand your career over to someone else to manage? There's no one as vested in yourself as you. And the ugly truth is that most managers are focused on execution rather than team development. So how can you ensure that your career stays on track? First, make sure you have a clear set of agreed upon goals that are measurable, and if priorities shift, rewrite them with buy-in. Two, if you see something that can be improved upon or automated, don't wait to be asked, just do it. This is good advice for tech-savvy millennials and Gen Zs who can help lead the way with AI. Three, don't insulate yourself. Get to know other parts of the organization and network both internally and externally. Feel free to drive outside of your lane. And four, while your career is yours to own, don't go it alone. Identify sponsors and mentors. Also, it's important to make self-reflection and self-assessment a habit. Think through where you want to be 5 years from now and create a roadmap for yourself. Does your current path get you there? Are you passionate about what you're doing? Do you feel challenged? Are you learning? Do you feel respected? And importantly, are you a cultural fit? And is the company a cultural fit for you? If you answer negative to any of these questions, it's likely time for some course correcting. Please follow me on LinkedIn at Dawn Zier. And if you're a senior executive looking to grow in your career, check out expoleadership.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the show. I'm speaking this week with Janet Fouty, and Janet's the former CEO of Deloitte Consulting and board chair of Deloitte. And as we said in the first segment, 33 years is a long time, and you just really, I think, were probably in the right place, doing the right work, enjoying it, and doing a good job. And then one moment, a day, whatever it was, I wonder if you can talk about that decision that it was time to move on to something new.
Yeah, I love talking about that. So where we are today, it was just over a year ago that I left Deloitte after that, you know, decades long, incredible run and incredible privilege. My last role as chair of the firm was an interesting one because I was elected by my partners. And as you can imagine, that is an incredibly important responsibility that our partners feel in terms of who they elect to lead them, and an incredibly important responsibility for those that are elected by their partners to take the business forward. So I was so privileged to be elected by my partners to be the chair of the firm. And I served 1 4-year term, and I had to make a decision. And I just started sort of talking about this because it was, you know, at the time, I think not obvious to my board and to my colleagues why I would make the decision not to serve a second term. And it's funny because when I talk about it now, it's so clear to me, but when I was trying to explain it in the moment, it was a little bit trickier. So I was 33 years in. I had the opportunity to serve another 4 years if selected by my partners. And I made the decision to say, you know what? I'm 33 years in. It's been an incredible run. I absolutely want to have a really substantive next chapter. I intend to be productive for another 30 years, health willing, in contributing to society writ large. So I can start it now, or I can start it 4 years from now. And at that next 4-year point, that's a hard line, right? It's you can serve 2 terms and that's it. And I took a step back and said, you know what? I'm unbelievably lucky to have done 33 years here, but I know it's coming. Let's sort of rip the proverbial Band-Aid off, give another leader the incredible opportunity I had to chair the firm, and start the what's next chapter now. So for me, I think this idea that it was termed and it was elected gave it a different, it was a very binary decision that it was now or 4 years from now. And, you know, if I was going to finish in another 4 years and do what so many people love to do and, you know, spend a lot of time on the beach, in the mountains. And I love to be on the beach and in the mountains, but I want to continue to do really big things in the universe. And so for me, why not start now?
Yeah. And you're so fortunate to have made such incredible connections, relationships. I mean, you're in a position to have impact where you choose to do that. So did you know at the I know right now you're spending a lot of your efforts in and around healthcare, and that's really important to you. Did you know when you made the decision that you were going to leave that that's what you were going to get into? Or did you take some time and reflect to where you wanted to?
I wish I had had that foresight. You know, I ran through the tape at Deloitte. I was busy with clients and with my day job until the very last day that I turned in my badge after 33 years. And I was incredibly lucky that everything I had done to date had come to me quite organically and naturally. My sort of philosophy and my principle was be brilliant in the role that you're in and good things will happen. So I was not the type of person that said, oh, if I position for this role, that will then position me for this move and then that move and then that move. I was be brilliant in what you're doing, put everything you can into it, have your team know how deeply committed you are to them, not to your next career move. So that's how I'd live my career. So I get to the end of my time with Deloitte, and frankly, I didn't have a lot of experience and a lot of practice at being strategic about what was next because it had come to me very organically. Mm-hmm. So I have spent the last year exploring things that were Deloitte adjacent, things that were sort of organic, very natural, intuitive outcomes of the places I had been, and starting to explore things that were really different. The health of women had always been something that I would call it sort of an extracurricular or a nights and weekends project for me. I'd spent a lot of time in the not-for-profit space around women's health. And as I spent time in my first year outside of Deloitte, I really came to the decision that I wanted to try my hand at doing something very different than what I'd done in the past. And so, you know, I've got right now sort of a mix of things I'm doing, but more of them are focused on doing things that are different than things that are similar to what I've done to date.
One of the things you're doing, Janet, is, you know, you are spending some time speaking and often to audiences full of women. And when you have that opportunity, is there one important message for you that you want them to leave with, if nothing else?
I do spend a lot of time talking to a wide variety of types of women. And though I could fill hours talking about what I think is important, the one message to me is for women to know that they are not in it alone. And it is so easy in so many careers and so many organizations to feel like that you are the only one who has either tread this path, or even if you're with a group of women, that there's not someone that you can talk to that will help you, that cares about you. And so the thing I want women to know is that those of us that have the privilege to have gone before you deeply believe that our goal was to be the first, not the last, and that there's an incredible community of men and women who want you to be wildly successful. So that is the one thing that I think is the most important to communicate to the women that I spend time with.
Yeah. I forgot to mention, and I wanted to, that you decided to write a book during COVID.
I did.
Why not?
You know, it was a pandemic. Not much else going on.
Yeah, I'm stuck here. I might as well write a book. The title, Arrive and Thrive, 7 Impactful Practices for Women Navigating Leadership. We won't go through all those. I just, when someone decides to write a book, it's a big endeavor. And I'm guessing at that point you thought, I've learned something that I can share, and I can do it in this book. So maybe just one of those impactful messages, again, that you know you think is most important.
I'm not sure I would say that I had the total confidence to say I've learned something, but with my collaborators and all the resource that we compiled, we thought that was a really important message to deliver to women, not just about how do you get there, but how are you really happy and successful once you're there. And the practice I'll talk about is that of courage. And I will tell you that I historically had not thought of myself as an overly courageous person. But through the course of my business career and my personal life, I learned a couple of things. One is that courage is about doing the things that are hard for you to do. Something, Sue, that might be really easy for you might be really hard for me. So it wouldn't be courageous for you, but it would be courageous for me. And I really worked on my courage to do the things that were hard for me. And I found that the more I worked on them and then talked about the courage it took to do them, it became this incredible effect with my teams that they had the confidence to do things that were courageous for them. And it just has this wonderful knock-on effect of creating a very different kind of leadership and a very different kind of team if everyone is steeling themselves to do the things that are that much harder for them to do than what comes naturally.
Yeah. That's great advice. I really
and it takes a lot of practice and it takes a lot of work. So this is not something you are born with or not.
Right.
To me, and it is something that is
throughout life, right? You keep
100%.
Every time. You, yeah, that's how we evolve, continuing to do things that are hard, but teach us something and make us feel, I would say, really good about ourselves if you do something that's hard and you get through it.
And then you show other people that they can also do hard things. So for me, we talk about a lot of things in our book, both practical and philosophical, but courage is the one that I'm probably the most passionate about.
Yeah. My last question for you, you're a mother and you have 2 children. What do you worry most about when you think about them? And what do you hope for them in their own lives?
I love that question. You know, my kids have been the center of my universe since they were born. And, you know, everything else, though I've had the opportunity to do incredible things, you know, they are 1A and 1B. Don't tell them which one is 1A and which one is 1B. For me, I want them to find both deep satisfaction in what they do professionally and having that be deeply intertwined with a rich life writ large. You know, they certainly grew up in a household where my philosophy was everybody works and everyone's work is different, but everyone contributes in the way that's important to them. So my hope for them is that they find work that is incredibly fulfilling and meaningful, and that that is not separate from their life, but deeply embedded in a very, very rich life.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, listen, I'm so appreciative of your time, and I wish you luck in your continuation of exploring. You know, I think you have a lot to offer, and certainly in the arena of women's health, I think it's super that you're going to be offering your support there and advice, guidance, whatever that might be.
Thank you so much, Sue. I love this platform that you've created for conversations, and I'm privileged to have been a part of it.
Thank you so much. I'm going to go into my last break, and I'll be back to close out the show. Over on our Women to Watch YouTube channel, we have a partner profile series featuring some of the amazing executive women working at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Our latest installment features Dr. Susan Firth. Here's an excerpt from our latest conversation. The goal, I would say, of CHOP is for every child to have a chance at a healthy future. And how does the Research Institute specifically support and help in that goal?
One of our strategic imperatives as an enterprise is to really promote research-driven precision medicine, you know, so diagnostics and therapeutics that are really tailored to an individual's circumstance. And I always add to that research-driven precision medicine that this has to be research-driven precision medicine for everyone. So we've invested in programs around health equity, research methods, and making sure that as we are pursuing our research and discovery, that we're thinking about how our questions apply to different populations, whether it's where they live, if they're rural or urban, or what their social determinants of health are. So we're trying to incorporate thinking broadly about improving child health to all populations. So we want to help children who are around the world and also in our backyard.
To learn more about Dr. Susan Firth, head over to our Women to Watch YouTube channel for the full interview.
We are CHOP, and we can't wait to show you around. We're the nation's first children's hospital. Now, a care network with more than 50 locations that continues to expand. 3 state-of-the-art research buildings with 1.5 million square feet of space. We have grown from 12 beds 165 years ago to nearly 600 beds and one of the best children's hospitals in the world. We have a level 1 trauma center, 11 floors of patient units, more than 20 operating rooms, first-of-its-kind delivery unit for babies with birth defects, a separate cardiac operative and catheterization suite, and places to learn, like our internationally recognized simulation center. We have trained generations of leaders in the field of pediatrics. We are world leaders in medicine, surgery, and science. One of the top recipients in NIH funding for pediatric research. In this building, pioneers in CAR-T therapy, mitochondrial disease, brain tumors, hyperinsulinism, and other rare diseases. Here, groundbreaking work in fetal surgery, genetics and genomics, and neurology. In our newest building, leaders in social determinants of health, clinical informatics and epidemiology, autism, trauma and injury prevention. Our patients come from every state and 115 countries. Meeting these challenges requires the best and the brightest. We are passionate about pediatrics. We are motivated to make a difference in the world and in our community. We are a team. We are CHOP.
That's it, everyone, for another week of Women to Watch. Thanks so much for tuning in. Next week, I'm going to be speaking with Virginia Coles, and Virginia is the global partner leader for AWS at Amazon. A big thank you to our sponsors, as always, for helping us to bring you the show, and I hope you all have a great week.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.